And honestly, really, what I probably need to do is get a therapist again. But for now, I'm just gonna complain.
Welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate a spinnerbait, but we love a sweet, supportive boyfriend. Like, especially yes. When times are tough, you know? Mm-hmm. I wish a Mac for everyone out there. Hi, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. It's Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, how are you? You are a little tired.
I'm unwell.
She is unwell.
What I am. I have been struck. Today was rough. Today was one of my rougher days, I'd say. But we're here.
We're here. So, I also love that at the top of every episode, we ask how we are. Like, we haven't been texting earlier, and I knew. But, for the pretense of the episode, we have to ask these things. Like, how are you doing? Like, we haven't talked earlier. Okay, first and foremost, before we dive into the recap and the chapters, because I do want to dive on in, because there is some things that we are going to get heated about today. I just want to say, everyone really needs to watch us on YouTube, because Michael Ann puts in fun little edits sometimes. Sometimes I request things, and I'm like, that's probably hard. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. And I was like, can you put us in a DeLorean? And she's like, absolutely. Other times, she surprises me with little edits. For instance, on our last episode, if you've only listened, you should go and watch it, because there is an adorable Luna edit. I don't even want to spoil it. Like, y'all just need to go see it. And it pleases me. I never know what I'm going to get. Yes, I watch myself on YouTube, because I like to see what fun little things and my little schnazzy things might be added into the episode. So that is my plug. Please watch the YouTube. Please watch us on YouTube. My other completely random thought that I told Michael and I just had to get off my chest before, we dive into this episode. And that is, okay, two random thoughts. One, I'm really sad that the Chiefs have won, because I'm tired of them winning. Like, I'm tired of them going to the Super Bowl and it being the same team in the Super Bowl every year, whatever, even though they do have a chance to make history. But as a Taylor Swift fan, I'm always so torn, because, like, I want to see her more. And I want to see, like, what outfit she's going to wear. And, like, I do love the little moments on the field with her and Trav. Like, the AFC Championship, she went down. And, like, this morning, my whole feed was just, like, it's nice, okay? Like, when the world is doom and gloom, I want to see love on my, like, Instagram feed in the morning, okay? I think it's a beautiful thing. But I'm also really tired of the Chiefs winning. So it's, like, all last night I was actively rooting against them. And then today I was like, oh, but look down the field. Oh, that's cute. Oh, look at the edits for the alchemy. I'm back in. So I'm just very torn on that constantly. Can't wait to see what she wears at the Super Bowl, though, so, you know?
I have to say something.
Please do.
One of the reasons why I've been so out of sorts today, so not feeling great.
Yeah.
Is because of Taylor Swift. And this is going to sound so silly, but, like,
no, never.
Things are, like, not good. Things, like, in America good. Right now. Like, I'm barely holding on. I think most of my friends are barely holding on. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting through the day by day. We're all stressed about money. We're stressed it's going to get even worse now that whatever. And
now that whatever.
Lil Miss thing, who I love.
Yes.
Has started wearing so many expensive labels. Like,
yeah. She and, like, very, like, label heavy. When, yes. I feel like it used to be, like, clearly, I know her wardrobe is made up of nothing but expensive things, because she is Taylor Swift. She's, like, one of the richest people on planet Earth. But I feel like it wasn't so, like, label
in your face.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, like, she still had, like, a little bit of, like, I don't know. Like, for example, she used to wear a lot of women-owned, like, small business stuff to the Chiefs games. And now she was literally head to toe decked out fully in Louis Vuitton at the game.
Yes.
And it's Louis Vuitton. And I think, like, a lot of this too probably has to do with the fact that that's kind of how Travis is. Like, he's very label heavy.
I think it's a very, like, sports culture thing. Like, if that makes any sense. And I was thinking about this too the other day. And you're not like the only one to think this. And I, or like, I feel like we're not the only people like thinking about this. Cause I saw someone post on TikTok about this and she's like, I know no one asked her my opinion. And I'm not saying that she like her street style, like her outfits to the Chiefs isn't cute. Cause they are, but she was saying she preferred last year's to this year's. And I agree. Like I liked how like in your face, like Chief she was, even though like, I hate their stupid name and I hate the whatever, but disregarding that, if it was another team that wasn't using Indigenous people as their mascot, and then people are always like, it's actually named after this guy, they just called him Chief. Okay, why did they do a war chant then? Anyways, I could go on a whole rant about
what's
that.
What's with the arrowhead then?
And yeah, what's with the arrowhead then? If it was just this guy that was named whatever. But anywho, either way, don't love that. Love that like Washington, for instance, changed the name to the Commanders and they no longer go by their terrible old, very slurry name. But we need to work on that. But unfortunately, because Kansas City is so popular, they're making the NFL so much money, like they're not going to change their like name anytime soon. But with that aside, yeah, especially now. But with that aside, last year I loved, yes, like I love that she was like repping like cute little jewelry that like yes, little small owned businesses, like women owned businesses had. And it was very much like she was there in support of like Travis and like, I don't know, like I loved her wearing like the 87 puffer coat, like that Kristen Juszczyk, like, you know, now has like a whatever fashion line with and stuff. Like I thought all that was like so cute and just like very like, I love a theme, y'all. I love being in theme. And this year she's gone like a little bit more subtle. And I feel like that is just because like she's gone more like WAG. Just knowing like the way WAGs dress, I think this year she's tried to like fall in line a little bit more with them. And I do feel like in sports culture, like bling and labels and this and that is like very like dominant, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like every culture, facet of culture has its own like style. It's just not a style I tend to gravitate toward. Like nothing about that Louis Vuitton jacket is really cute. It just has, it's the Louis Vuitton label all over it. Like I thought the skirt and the tights and the boots were Louis Vuitton. I thought those are adorable, but like that's not in your face Louis Vuitton, you know what I mean? Like I just feel like when people just wear labels to like wear labels, I just don't really jive with that personally. So yeah, I don't know. I just liked her style. Like in a couple of games, like the first game, she just came in like denim number with a red boots, cute. Like I love like a subtle moment. Like as someone who loves dressing up going to football games, I don't wear Gator stuff. Like I wear orange and blue and I like dressing up and whatever. So I'm not even mad that she's like not necessarily wearing team stuff, but it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I just haven't, even though her outfit, like a lot of her outfits have still been very cute this year. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just liked, like, the beginning of the season, she wore, like, a cute little, like, Chiefs dress, and I thought that was very cute, like, a little Chiefs shirt dress. That was one of her cuter moments of this season. Some of the outfits have just been, I don't know, this one in particular, like, Louis Vuitton hat, Louis Vuitton, whatever. And even the jewelry, because, of course, I follow Taylor Swift style, even the jewelry was all just, like, I was like, oh, like, I liked last year when she had, like, a cute, like, little 87 ring, or, like, whatever. Like, that just seemed, like, so much more, like, personal and sweet to me. But I don't know. Maybe at the Super Bowl, she'll like hit us with that. Or maybe it's a bunch of labels. Who knows?
it's like that Gucci dress she wore that was just like, looked like a Gucci purse that you just like turned into a dress that was just like khaki. Yeah. You remember that? And yeah. And it's just like, you know, I know that she's a billionaire and I am one of the reasons she is that.
Yes. I have contributed a lot to that.
A lot. But in the socioeconomic climate, I do not want to see your fucking Louis Vuitton rain jacket. Yeah. Or whatever the hell that was.
Right. Three-quarter zip pullover, whatever.
And I did like a few of her outfits from like the beginning. Like the jean on jean was like,
yeah, whew. Fire.
There was another one that included like black shorts, I think. That one was really cute.
Yeah.
And the t-shirt dress, as you said, stands out to me. But yeah, like, and maybe it's because it's like the playoffs or she wants to get fancier. But I don't know. I mean, it's none of my business and I don't care. But I'm as a regular person, it's like I'm already dealing with so many billionaires. Like, can you just be who you are and not shove how much money you have in our face? Like,
I've always loved that, like, again, someone who's followed Taylor Swift styles, and I know I'm not alone in this. There are so many things sells out because it is affordable. Like when she wears the Halara skirt and people are like, I can buy a Halara skirt. Like that's a $30 skirt. Like that's awesome. So yeah, like obviously there are some things that she, and again, like I said, like we both said, like, I understand that she's a billionaire and she does wear a lot of expensive stuff, but I just don't, that's never been something that I've liked. Like it just being like, this is a label. But yeah, I don't know if that's just like the more she hangs out in kind of his world, if that's kind of, you know, like in sports world, she wants to like do that or whatever. Cause I feel like her street style outside of the games there have been instances, yes, where she has done that. But I feel like it's not as prominent as it has been when she goes to the game. So I'm like, is this like, cause you're like in that world? I don't know. Two people overanalyzing what Taylor Swift is wearing. But see, like, this is the things that, like, I can't discuss in my fantasy football chat, because last night we're all just like, oh my God, F the Chiefs, you want the Bills to win or whatever. And I was like, what? Like, I can't be like, what are your thoughts on the Taylor Swift outfit?
But what do you guys think about her outfit?
And also, like, everyone who was like, oh, I love the zip over, but I don't like the bottom half. And I was like, oh, I'm, like, the exact opposite. Like, I love the little, like, I was like, ooh, color tight. Bring us back to, like, the 2010 Slay Queen.
Yes.
I love a little mini skirt. I love a cute little booty. But, yeah, the jacket and the hat and stuff, just, that's not it for me personally.
The gloves.
But the gloves, yeah.
But then I saw the gloves.
Yeah, the gloves were also very, I don't think I've ever seen her wear so many labels in one setting.
No, it was,
to be honest.
And it's like, it's just off-putting.
Yeah.
It's just off-putting. Like, it's, I know that her clothes are expensive, but when it's like she's like, there's a difference between like wearing Louis Vuitton and wearing the emblem of Louis Vuitton literally all over your body. Like, it's fucking crazy.
It gives different vibes. And it does like take me back to like, I don't know, the early aughts when like everyone was buying Louis Vuitton bags just because it said Louis Vuitton all over it. And I was like, that seems just like,
Right. Like Canal Street in New York is about to be selling fake bags again.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
If they ever stopped, they probably haven't, to be honest. My other random thought also had to do with Taylor Swift, and then I swear we're really gonna just like dump in. This is what happens. We haven't had chaos in a while, y'all. I just like have to get all my like word vomit out.
Yeah.
Witches and this never ending drama that is the Justin Baldoni Blake Lively Jesus, that is not her name. Blake Lively drama, whatever, which we're not getting into. But what I will say, you know what has bothered me is because not a lot of people have obviously, because it is like some of it. It's not funny, but some things are funny. And some people have just like been making fun of, again, making fun of her fashion in that movie. Fair game. That's fucking funny. Like, I love that. Go off on that, queen. The one guy, have you been seeing the guy who's like literally looks freakishly like her, and he's been doing the lip thing, and then he puts on like 5 beanies, and like it's like they're funny videos, like it's just like it's harmless fun. But every time people are like doing like funny parody things, which again I overall don't think are harmful or whatever, they're not like picking a side in this argument, they're not like whatever, they're just making fun of, you know, whatever, it's very topical. But it's always the song My Tears Ricochet is playing in it, which I understand. But I'm also like, guys, like, I really don't want this song to be so associated with this movie, because I think it's a beautiful song. And in the Eras Tour performed live, it is literally an iconic moment. And now everyone just thinks of it as being the song that's in the bad Colleen Hoover movie with the bad drama and whatever. And I'm just like, I know, again, in the grand scheme of life, there are bigger fish to fry. But I kept coming up on this one guy's videos this weekend, and they're hysterical, don't get me wrong. And I was like, I can't with the fact that this song is now associated like so heavily with this movie. And like none of this drama would have ever blown up. It would have been in the movie, we all would have moved on, no one would have ever thought of it again. But I'm like, it's such a good song. And like, I feel like we're taking away the goodness of it by having it be so like associated with this hubbubaloo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are my thoughts.
That whole situation is so crazy. I'm almost like, it's like another thing. Okay. My life has changed drastically since last week. Okay.
Clearly.
I don't give a shit about, it's like, I was finding joy in celebrity drama and like celebrity gossip and like Taylor Swift. And now I'm like, I couldn't care less. Like everybody, I was like in a group chat today and everyone was like, oh my God, look how cute they look. And like, yeah, obviously they look cute. They're fucking cute. But I was just like, I don't care. I don't care. And honestly, really what I probably need to do is get a therapist again.
Yeah, I would say that's probably fair.
But for now, I'm just going to complain.
I'm going to try to also respect. I feel like everyone's right to complain. It makes me think of, what is that show? Oh my God, I can't think what it's called. You know, America Ferrera within a Superstore? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I didn't watch it religiously, but this one clip always comes up. And it's this guy, like, they're on, like, break, and he's complaining about how, like, everyone is, like, you know, being diagnosed with things these days. And he's like, sure, there are days that I like lie around for days and I don't want to get up and get dressed and I lose interest in all things that usually bring me joy. But like, I mean, what, you know, what is that? Am I depressed? And all of them are like, yes. Actually, please go sit. They're like all like staring at him like slack jaw. Like the more he goes into it and they're like, yeah, no, that actually is like by definition depression and you probably should go seek help. And he's like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah. Because like, remember the good old days when people could just like be depressed and we didn't call it depression. And it's like, no, it's good that we do. But anyways, that scene always cracks me up. Because he's like, all the things he's listening and they're like, yeah, my dude, like, please actually like go talk to somebody.
Oh my gosh. I've never seen that show, but that is hilarious.
It's pretty good. I actually like really should watch it like full through. Like I've only watched like bits and pieces of it and like different clips like have come up on like my social media before. And I'm like, oh, this is like delightful. But I didn't watch it like, you know, all the seasons or whatever. But I, the more I think about it, and I really like America Ferrera, I was like, I really should watch that show.
I like her too. I like her too.
She's delightful. All right. I think that's enough. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what the first little bit of this was. Us just whatever, getting out our feelings.
Welcome to 2025, y'all. I mean, that's just all I have to say to you. And you know, deal with these two chapters are not fun. No. They're not fun. We're not gonna have a good time today, guys. Mm-mm. But we are gonna have a good time together.
Yes.
But not in Lakeview.
In the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But not reading these chapters.
Shall we jump right in?
Yes.
Chapter 19.
Chapter 19.
Okay. So I've also been sitting way too close to my microphone lately, and I'm sorry to everybody who listens to my voice get way louder.
I don't feel like it's that bad. I just think you're very sensitive to it because it's your voice, you know? But yes, we'll just every once in a while, we'll remind ourselves to take a little sit back. One more thing before we freaking jump in. Sorry, everyone. I swear we really are. But Sarah's books being featured on SNL was like a fun little thing. And I very, very rarely watch SNL live. Mike went to bed early because he was tired. And I was like, oh, little Timmy C is going to be on SNL. And I enjoy SNL. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to put it on. And I actually watched that episode live. I did not obviously see they were in a classroom. I couldn't tell what books or whatever. But yeah, so it was funny to me that I was like, I know exactly what skit she's talking about. I watched that live and there were her books. So what a queen.
That's so cool.
What an icon.
What an icon.
I'd like to thank the set dressers of. Also, I've been like in a little bit of an SNL mood lately too, I think, because they had a whole bunch of documentaries on Peacock right now. Just me plugging. Peacock sponsor us. We used to work for you, Comcast Daddy. They have an entire like docu-series right now. I don't even want to say docu-series because each episode is kind of different, but I guess kind of docu-series since it is SNL's 50th anniversary this year. And those have been really cool. Like the one you would really like, because it's all basically about watching people's dreams come true. Like the one is about like auditioning, like the cast stuff, whatever. The one is like they follow the writers for a week, and that was really cool to see. Like, they just literally like follow them for a week to kind of show how it works. And it's crazy to me, like how much the writers like are responsible for. Like I never realized how much they were responsible for. And then there was one that's literally just called More Cowbell. And it literally is just about that like sketch, which sounds like what a whole, but it was very well done. And then there's another one. This is what we've watched so far. There's a couple more, but we haven't finished it yet. about what they call the weird season, which is the 11th season, when Lorne Michaels, because Lorne Michaels left briefly at the beginning of SNL's tenure, and then he came back in season 11, and it was weird. And a lot of, like, famous people are actually on that season. But anyways, we're going to read these chapters. but I've just been in a real SNL mood lately, I guess, because we've been watching a lot of things in honor of its 50th anniversary.
There you go. I do want to see whatever Timmy was doing on SNL, because he's kind of killing me right now in media. He's like killing me in a good way. Like, I'm finding joy from Timothy Chalamet.
There you go, man. There you go, Timmy, bringing it out.
Thanks, you little weird, skinny, creepy guy.
Such a weird little skinny dude, right? Like, and I'm like, why do you look like prepubescent? And you're like going to be 30 this year. Like, it's just so strange. Yes. And then, like, the fact that he's dating, like,
Kylie Jenner.
Kylie? Kendall? Was it Kylie or Kylie? Kendall? Kylie. That whole relationship is so weird to me. I mean, hey, if it works for y'all, who am I to judge? But I'm like, what do you talk about? Because, like, I just don't see the two of you talking about things. Maybe they don't. Maybe that's what makes it work. I don't know. Right on to them. Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, the Kardashians are like, We can't actually. Chapter 19.
Maybe?
Okay, so she has just gotten caught with taking one single sip of alcohol. Nobody else was drunk. She had people over, and her mom walked in. And so it's the next morning. She is downstairs, and she is getting kind of the sentencing from her parents. And dad starts. He is like, I don't think we have to tell you. We're disappointed in you. Your mother specifically told you that they couldn't use the studio, yet there was alcohol here and you were drinking. And she's like trying to defend herself, but they're like not letting her talk. You know how concerned and worried we both are about your brother and his situation. It's unfathomable to us that you would choose to add to our burden. Nothing's worse than when your dad says something you've done is unfathomable.
Yeah, and that you've added to their burden. I was like, this dad has barely spoken two sentences in this entire novel. And then he comes on this hard. No, sir. Don't like that.
I was so distracted by flashbacks that unfathomable caused that I did not even fully register that they said you would choose to add to our burden.
Yeah, I was like, are you effing kidding me? Like, her having some friends come over to use the studio is added to your burden. Could you imagine looking your child in the eye and being like, you were a burden to us? Nope, can't imagine.
Speaking of burdens, we'll get there, but I can't believe that this is considered adding to the burden, but taking on a whole ass stranger into their house is not.
It's not, for some reason.
No. But she's like, I wasn't trying to burden anyone. I just wanted to help a friend. And mom is like, Mac, she said, enunciating his name like you might the word herpes or molestation. Ames tells us he's your boyfriend. Oh, my God. Wait. Sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. You've been watching The Hills a lot. Okay. And I just got to the season where Spencer, like, turns his life around and they get married and whatever. Lauren's last season. And there's an episode where Heidi's real dad shows up. Mm-hmm. And he's like super fucking old. And when I was like looking at him and I'm like, oh my God, he's so old. Her mom does not look even remotely that old. So I Googled him just to like see what their ages were. But I didn't get that far because Heidi's father has been arrested for child sexual abuse.
Oh, that's disturbing.
So that answers the question also. She definitely is too young for him.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was like, that was like so crazy to me. I was like, wait a second, what?
Oh my God. Didn't know
that. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
The things that this Hills rewatch has uncovered truly astounds
me. It's crazy. Also, I just want to say, of course, Spencer and Heidi are dumb ass right-wing people. They're grifters. They will do anything for money.
Yeah. Like, is this like is the fact that people were surprised by this? They're like, they hoodwinked us. And I was like, he was
no.
How did they hoodwink you? Yeah, they're like the griftiest grifty people. And I mean, like, whatever, you do you, you know, you got hustle. But like, yeah, he's like selling crystals and what was it, like honey, whatever, hummingbird something. I don't even know. And then, of course, like the way he's been like hawking Heidi's stuff. And it's like, yeah, of course they're like right wing. Yeah. Like they're grifters. Like that's yeah. not.
Like their know. First priority is like money. That's just right. clear and obvious.
Who they are.
But anyway. Okay. So Ames tells us he's your boyfriend and this makes her mad. She's like, Ames doesn't know anything about me. And she's like, clearly he came over expecting to watch a movie with you and found a party instead. Why is he coming over to watch a movie?
Yeah. Like, please stop.
Can it's we so disturbing. Rewind and pause, mom, and really think about what that sentence is that you just said?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it wasn't a party. They were, that was another thing is like they were, it wasn't even like they were all hanging out in the backyard or something. Like they were clearly doing something like in the studio. Right.
And like they were like, there, drum kit, guitars, whatever.
Like, yes. You think so? Like all their rude. Equipment was there. All their equipment was there. And she's like, it's a party. It's like, well, obviously not. But anyway, she's like, it wasn't a party. She's like, there's a drunk boy here. And she's like, that's Lila's boyfriend. I hardly know him, which mom doesn't like. And she's like, listen, she's like, she just like wants her mom to like stop and like listen for a second. And she's like, Mac and Layla are my friends. Mac's band had a chance to enter a showcase and needed a demo. We have a studio. Like that is all that was happening. Like, please listen to yourself. And she was like, but that I told you that they couldn't use it. And she's like, oh, but you did originally say it. And then when Peyton called and you took it out on me, basically. And she's like, and dad's like, this is not about your brother. Actually, I think this is entirely about her brother, as is everything.
As pre-ish.
But she's like, everything is about Peyton all the time. I get it. But this was one thing for me that I wanted. And like, this is very valid argument. Like she's basically being like, can you see me? Can you hear me? Can you listen to me? Like, begging again for like understanding and whatever and not getting it. And she's like, you wanted to have your friends over drinking unsupervised in our house. That's great. Just wonderful. And it's like,
also, wouldn't you prefer your daughter though? Like if she is going to drink in your home, like instead of being out and about, like not like I'm saying again, but like, you know, whatever. If you want to be upset about her drinking, especially like, you know, with your family sister or whatever, but like, okay, well, clearly she's not going to be out doing anything, mom, if she's in the house. And she wasn't even drinking. It was one sip.
It was one sip. Nobody else was drunk. Like, it was just like, it's tough. It's a tough situation. I mean, we are getting it from her point of view. So, of course, we're, like, fully on her side. And we do get some, like, stuff from Mrs. Chatham later that kind of, like, I don't know, makes you think about mom, I guess. But, like, even still, I was like, But anyway, so she's like, I just wanted to do something to thank my friends for being so good to me, to repay a bit of the debt I owe them for taking me in. This should be something that they're like, taking you in? What's wrong?
What do you mean?
But no. But dad's like, it's surprising to us that you're close with people we barely know. And she's like, well, I wanted you to know them. I like invited him over. Like this wasn't a secret. And mom went to Seaside Pizza,
yeah,
you know,
for like, goodness sakes. Like, I like with them acting like she's hanging out with, yeah, like complete strangers. Like she has tried to, I'm glad that she like kind of fights back on that a little bit and says like, you know, I wanted you to know them. Cause it's like, yeah, like she really isn't trying to keep these people a secret from y'all. She's not sneaking around behind your back. Like Jesus.
Right. Exactly. But she's like, and mom's like, I was beginning to think you lied about everything. Like, in my personal opinion, they are overreacting to an extreme extent. Like, mm-hmm. If they came home and she was throwing a dead ass legitimate party,
right,
and there was a bunch of alcohol and everything was a mess, I would be like, this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like, again, that's like not the situation. But she's like, I'm sorry. She's like, why are you being like this? I'm not a bad kid. This was one night, one thing, one mistake. I'm sorry. And she's like, your brother started with one mistake, which led to another and another. And she's like, I'm not Peyton. And she says, you're damn right you're not, and you won't be as long as I have anything to say about it. She pushed back her chair, getting to her feet. First thing Monday, we go to meet with Perkins Day about transferring you. In the meantime, you go to school and nowhere else, and I want you home by 3:30 every day until we get this sorted out. So she's trying to get her to switch. She's not trying to get her to. She is going to essentially force her to transfer schools again. Mm-hmm. You know, the first time it was her choice, but still, like, that's a lot. She was like, you can't make me switch schools. And then mom just loses it, lunging across the table, slapping her hands on the table, just losing control completely. And she's like, I can do whatever I want. I am your mother and I make the rules. From now on, you follow them. We're done here. Which again, like, she's just talking to Peyton and right. She's just taking it. Like, she's so mad at Peyton for him, like, kind of rejecting her, that she's just like, and also, you know, she's probably scared, 'cause like her kid was a drug addict and an alcoholic who almost killed someone. But it's like, take your head like out of your ass.
Also, like, truly astounded. And again, I guess they're like, we're gonna do tough love, because last time we like tried to, I don't know, do gentle love or whatever you want to say, with Peyton, and like clearly it didn't like work out or whatever. But like, let's look at this again. The studio that's there is because like they bent over backwards, tried to do everything they could for him, gave him 18,000 chances, which again is why he's actually, you know, well, not obviously, like, addiction is a disease, and you know, like, it's not like they like don't have control over that, but you know what I'm saying. But like, the reason that he like didn't seek help, and the reason that he kept like getting in sticky situations, is because like they just kept giving him chance after chance after chance. She makes one tiny mistake and mom throws the book at her. She's like, I'm transferring you schools, you're not allowed to have a life, da 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 da. And I'm like, mother, like, Peyton got a music studio when he was acting up. Like, he basically got rewarded. And Sydney gets punished right away. And again, I understand it's like, because they think that that didn't work, they're going to do this. They're going to do the tough love route. But like, yeah, I'm Sydney. I'm like, my dude, this is not fair. Like, I have never messed up, and this is how hard you're going. Like, no.
I know my teenage self, and I would not have been this chill, I don't think, with this kind of, I mean, I deserved to be grounded. But if I was in this situation, I would be like, what the fuck? I'm perfect in every way.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, geez. But anyway, she's like, we're done here. She gets up and leaves. And she, Sydney thinks for a minute that maybe her dad will like say something, but of course he's not going to, he's just going to follow her. And that's going to be that. She said, but it was the pause before that I'd recall later. Like, if my parents were finally going to shift from their perspective, decided responsibilities, this was when it could happen. Maybe he might have listened if I tried to explain. Oh, no. It couldn't have made things worse. I'd never know, though, because then he was getting to his feet warily, pushing the chair in behind him. Court adjourned.
Yeah. This is just...
This is rough. This is like... rough.
Yeah. And this is, to me, is like when you are going to lose your kid. Like, if you're not willing to listen to them, if you're laying down these kind of restrictions, that's really, you know, messing with their lives. Like, this is where you will, like, do you want, you're saying, you know, she's hanging out with people that you don't know. Well, now you are going to cause a rift, and now you are going to cause her to be keeping secrets, because like, you're just being so extreme.
Right. Exactly. So then we get, you know, more information. It was Peyton's fault that mom came home all pissed off. He reached out to her. He was like, do not come. He was like, I will not be there. So you can come there, but I won't be there. And, she was so pissed and she came home. By Sunday morning, her mom was rested and ready to focus on her new project. She says that it doesn't actually make sense for her to transfer right now, but at the next marking session, they'll reconsider it. She wants her to go either back to Perkins or, is this where she says that other school? Yeah, Kiffney yeah. Brown or the charter school. She's making her go to tutoring every single day, including her whole entire lunch period. Luckily, Jen does work at the place that she's going to get tutored at. So, it, like, you know, there's a silver lining there. Do you remember Sylvan Learning Center?
Yes, 100% I do.
One of my punishments for being, for basically having ADHD and not knowing how to be a student is, was going to Sylvan. My mom was like, I know you're smart and you don't need this, but you need like consequences for your bad grades or something. And it was torture.
That seems like it's bad. I remember those like ads all the time on TV and like passing by them. Thankfully I never had to do anything like that. Honestly, sometimes I'm like, man, maybe I should have gone and done like test prep because I was not a good like SAT, ACT test taker type of person. But I also don't know if that would have helped me any. But you know.
I know. I should have probably taken tests or whatever classes preparation for the SATs, but I did not. I was just like, I'm going in.
I'm waiting. But
I took them twice. So
yes, yeah. I feel that. Yeah, I did. I think SAT once, but I took the ACT twice because I did slightly better on the ACT. And so I like took it again to see if I could like beef it up a little bit or whatever.
Yeah.
Test or
not. I don't even think they have to take the SATs anymore.
It's not as I actually know someone who just recently applied for college. Like she kind of took like a little bit of time off in between high school and college, but has decided that she like would like to go. And she applied and it was not required for her to like basically send in SATs. Like you can, but your like admittance isn't like dependent on it anymore, which I think is great because I think that they prove absolutely nothing and they're stupid. But yeah, like obviously when we were in school, like applying for colleges, that was such a big thing. Scholarships, like that was part of it. And I'm glad that they're like kind of going away from that. Although like, who knows? Cause we'll probably like take that away or something. Cause we took away DEI, but, that's neither here nor there.
Maybe we'll just take away college entirely. We'll see.
Yeah, entirely. And just be like, y'all figure it out. That's, you know, it's whatever.
It's fine.
Education, smeducation. You go to college and it makes you a liberal. We can't have that. Or take it away.
My face is just like melting on screen, like I just decompose.
I have to laugh or I'd cry. Oh,
gosh. Oh god. So yeah, they talk about the other schools she wanted to go to, and her mom's like, but I'm just starting on this, like we'll see. And her mom has a printed spreadsheet of schools, each listed its average SAT score, tuition, and requirements for enrollment. Peyton had finally succeeded in stopping her from organizing his life. Now she had her full arsenal of resources, not to mention all the time in the world to focus on me. Yeah, she needs therapy for sure.
100%. And again, for sure. Going back to a discussion we've had quite a bit in this book with the kind of like classism aspect of this. Yeah. That, of course, now that she's going to the public school and she's very like, ugh, you know, again, the way she says Mac, like, you know, it's like a STD or something, or the word molestation. I just feel like it's like, oh, you messed up. We got to get you back in with the rich kids. Like, I'm going to look at the best school, like the school with the most tuition is going to be like where you're going to be best off. And it's like, I don't know. Maybe you're like, listen to your daughter and what her wants and needs, but it's fine. Throw away your money. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Seriously. Mac is trying to reassure her, like she's just reacting, like it freaked her out, but you know, whatever, it'll get better. Her parents don't take her phone away, which is very surprising, and I like that. So thank you. Shout out for that one thing. She's like, she wants to send me to Kiffany Brown. That's like the genius school. She's delusional. Even with all this studying, I'd never have a chance. Then they talk about how that charter school is like college. It's like really hard. And they're just like, oh my God. So then they kind of move on to, she asks about, you know, Layla, has Layla said anything? And he sidesteps the question, basically just being like, oh, she's been caught up with Spencer. Like, of course his name is Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. She's like, it's just it was kind of him to sidestep the question, but it made her feel worse. To me, the Chathams were like the merry-go-round in the middle of nowhere in the woods. I hadn't been aware they'd existed. It was pure luck to have stumbled upon them. Now that I had, I couldn't forget and go back to the way I'd been before. Just knowing they were out there changed everything, especially me. Love that. Mm-hmm. Adorable. So Monday morning, she goes to school. She's got her little folder containing the information about the lunchtime study group. Their attendance is taken daily, and the after school program. But she does get to see Mac when she gets to her locker, and he's like, long time no see. Gives her a big hug, and she's like, he smelled like soap and coffee, and I just wanted to stay there breathing nothing but him for as long as possible. But the bell rang, so he kissed her, and then they separated. Oh, actually, he walked her to homeroom. Very cute.
Oh, young love.
But she's always looking for him, always looking for Layla, but Jackson is just like a huge public school, and it's hard to see them. She says, with no contact at lunch, my chances of seeing them were left up to fate. She never sees them, basically. She tries to look for them at lunch, just like in passing. She doesn't see them. And she says, my mother's plan was working. I was alone again.
This mother. I can't.
I like don't even know what to say. So Max, like, it's going to be okay. Like, it's just the first day. Like, we'll work it out, whatever. Mac is being very supportive. He's being very like, it's going to be okay. We're going to work through this. Like, I'm not going to abandon you. Which is like really cute.
Love that for him.
Yes. Yeah. For like a teenage boy who will like literally break up with you for any reason whatsoever. He's like, oh, I can never see you. Okay. That's fine.
We're still going to make this work. I know. Yeah. Bless him.
So then she's at the Krieger Center. Jen is like, okay, what's going on? And she kind of explains the whole situation. I do want to mention that her PSAT cram class was made up mostly of Arbor's kids, which is like another thing. Like, yeah, only Arbor's kids are going to be able to afford this unnecessary, mm-hmm. not unnecessary, but this insane test preparation that's not available to all children.
Yeah.
But she's like, this girl first, and she caught me with my friends over when she was out of town. I was drinking. And then she explains it longer. And she basically is like, my parents were supposed to be at Lincoln, but Peyton didn't want her there. So she's pissed, basically. she's like, daily tutoring. She's supposed to be doing daily tutoring and SAT prep class. Jen is like, nobody does that, by the way, even the people who need it, and you don't. Jen is giving her like all the reaction that she wanted. She's like, what? What is she trying to do? Make you skip next year or something? She explains about the new schools. Even Jen is like, you do not want to go to those schools. Kiffany Brown is competitive, and Mark's charter is hard to get into. I know people who went on Xanax just to apply there.
Yeah, that one was like, what? Which I believe, like, that is the way, like, some of these parents and some of these kids, like, are about school, that it is that anxiety-inducing.
I wonder if there's anyone who still, like, this was, like, a really prevalent thing, I feel like, when we were growing up, to have kids who were, like, so pressured to be perfect academically that they were like driving themselves crazy.
Yeah.
Like Jason, who then went to Harvard and then ended up being a line cook. And I just like, I wonder if it's still like that. That's I don't have like my family obviously doesn't put that kind of pressure on the kids. Right. They just want them to like do their best. But so I'm like not around teenagers. So I'm like, I wonder if there are still kids that
Like yes and no. Like I do feel like as our generation starts becoming parents, it's like not as prevalent. Cause I think that like our generation is so anxious and a lot of it like was because of things like that. And they're like not trying to put that on their kids. But I do think rich people, like I still think that's a thing amongst rich people because it's like they want their rich bloodline to stay rich. And so it's like, well, you got to go get a good education and you have to go do a smart. And it's also like having heard rich people talk about their kids who are about to go off into college. It's like you can't major in what you want. You have to major in something that's like going to make you money and that's going to have good career prospects. And like, as someone who majored in something that didn't, I get that to a certain extent. I'm like, oh, sure. Maybe if I would have like gone to school to be an engineer, but like, I also like, wouldn't be like happy, but like, it like, doesn't matter. Like, they're like, oh, well, if you want to, you know, do this, you got to do finance and you also need to major in blah, blah, blah. So, I would say, I think rich people still do because it's like, they don't want them to like disgrace the family name or whatever. But I think like the average people hopefully aren't doing that as much, but I don't know.
I have 2 points to make. The first point is I had the darndest time getting through college. I graduated in high school in 2010. I didn't graduate college till 2018 because I was doing that. I was like forcing myself to get a business degree or a political science degree. And it was like killing me. And I was like, this sucks. Right. And I was so bored and I was losing focus. And then I finally decided like, fuck y'all, I'm getting an English degree. And truthfully, like, it doesn't matter what degree I have. They only care that you have one, unless you're going into like a very specific role. But for me, I was just kind of, I'm just like kind of working a job. Like, I'm not like a doctor. Right. But yeah, I remember my cousin like sat me down when I came home to visit. And was like basically lecturing me about how I'm wasting my time and money by getting an English degree because like I'm gonna regret it and never get a job and be miserable. And he's like, I did an English degree too because I just wanted something easy, which also like,
screw you.
I'm not doing this because I want something easy.
Easy. Yeah.
Also, it's not.
No. But anyone that thinks that like they got a STEM degree and are smarter, no, you're not. Your brain works different, and that's fine.
And that's fine. But yeah, and I just remember like sitting there being like, what the fuck? Like he was like, I'm basically, it was like TLDR. I had to get my master's degree in business and I'm miserable and I hate my job every single day, but I make money. Basically was like what the, and I just remember being like, why would I want that?
Like, what? I don't want that. I don't like, you know, again, I know, like, obviously y'all are like, the two of you complain all the time about how you wish you had money. Yes, obviously, everyone in the world wishes they had more money. Everyone, even the richest people in the world wish that they had more money. Like, it's just human nature, and money does make the world go round. But I never have been someone who has, like, lived to work. I always work to live. Like, I just need to, like, I want to be able to, like, be done at the end of the day and not have to think about my job all the time and, like, I want to be able to take my vacations and da-da-da. Like, I work to save up money to go do things I want to do in my life. Like, I'm not someone who, like, I could have never majored in business. Like, I could never, like, you know, do anything like that because it would just be, I would be so miserable. Like, would I have money? Yeah. But, like, I would just be the most, like, miserable human being, I think. And there are some people who do live to work. Like, there are some people, like, that's what gets them out. They hate downtime. They have to be going, they have to whatever. I'm not that person. Like, I just had 5 days off because of a freak snowstorm and I was living my best life. And I was like, the amount of dread, and I like my job, y'all, but the amount of dread I had last night, like, you know, Sunday scaries usually, but it was like Sunday scaries on steroids because like after you have a nice little break and you know, you have to like go back to your mundane life of working, you're like, Like, I honestly last night was like, I don't think this is normal, the amount of dry that I have going back to work.
Yeah, Jen runs a tight ship here. She's like, don't giggle to her team, her kids. She explains who Mac is, the pizza guy from your party. That party. I was like reading this too, and I was like, didn't she go to a party and not drink mm-hmm. and then take care of a drunk person?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was Jen. She did. Yeah, yep. One of your rich friends there, Mom.
Nobody partied harder than the rich kids I knew.
Rich kids party so hard. Yes, 100%.
I've never seen so many drugs.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what's her problem with him? And she didn't say really anything. And she's like, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell me? You're blushing. No wonder you haven't wanted to hang out. She's like really excited for her, which is pretty cute. I like that. And she's like, tell me everything. I want a picture. She shows her a picture of them in the truck, a little selfie that they took. So cute. She's like, I would have remembered him. I must have been really drunk. But now Layla's mad because we kept it a secret and like she found out and the last friend of hers who dated him left him wrecked. And Jen's like, yeah, but she wouldn't do that. And she knows that. But you wouldn't do that. And she knows that. She's like, wow, I don't talk to you for a week or two and everything in your life changes. All that's different with me is my ringtone. Lol.
We were really into changing our ringtones at the time, yeah.
We were really
into changing our ringtone. Everyone got their own ringtone. It was a whole thing. My mom, shout out to my mom, still has a ringtone for each one of us, which I actually think is very cute and does make me feel special. But I'm too lazy to do all that for people, so everyone just has the same generic ringtone.
My volume's never on.
Also, yeah, I'm like literally don't think my volume is like ever on. My phone is consistently on silent because we are millennials and everyone from us down basically is the generation of silencing their cell phones.
Yep. Yeah, my nieces have the fucking no notification, the, you know, when you silence when yeah. you're in like do not disturb and it's like they're not getting notifications. My niece has that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I'm like, you know what? Good for you. Because even yeah. like that gives you the excuse kind of to even if you read it, if you're just like not in the place to answer right away, like, you know, it gives you that like, well.
Right. You said do not disturb at this time. So yeah, no one can expect anything from you.
Exactly. So anyway, she's leaving and she's like, I hate how you ended up here, but I'm happy to see you. Jen says this. And she's like, just don't get sick of me. I'll be here every day. Right at 5 o'clock, she went out to her car and her mom texted her heading home. She says, right now. And then she said, okay, see you in 5. For some, this was a figure of speech, casual, but I knew she was watching her own clock. I drove home as slowly as I could. Like doing so might change what was waiting for me. As I pulled into the driveway, I could see the afternoons following this one laid out in front of me one after another, neat little squares filling the calendar. It made me want to speed away as fast as I could and not look back. But I was a good kid, despite what my parents thought. I went inside. So depressing. So depressing.
I can't imagine doing nonstop studying all day. And like the second it hits 5 o'clock, your mom being like, so you in route? I'd be like, Jesus, lady.
And like to go right home and then do more homework. It's
like.
Oh my God, no. your kid's a, she's still a kid. Like,
yeah. Like part of that age is like, yeah, having, I don't know, social interactions. Like that's part of coming of age as well. But her mom said, no.
Mm-mm. Her mom was like, get fucked. And that's chapter 19.
That's chapter 19. Just joyous, joyous chapter. Which is going to take us to chapter 20, which is just as bad. Okay, chapter 20 starts off with our sweet, sweet boy, Mac, doing the little, like, text game. Obviously, now Sydney can't go, you know, delivering pizzas with him because she's constantly just supposed to be studying or at home also studying. So he texts her an order. This is something, you know, they've become like pretty common to do. And she, you know, puts her guess or whatever. She says that she's been on her schedule now for almost 2 weeks, but it's felt like so much longer. She only gets to see Mac in like these tiny little doses. So like texting him is basically like a lifeline for her right now. She says that one day she was hanging out by her locker before the bell when Mac comes up to her, tells her to close her eyes and gives her a little gifty gift. It's very cute. There is a chain that's a little bit like thinner and longer than his that has a saint pendant on it. Like his, but this is a different saint. So she asked, like, who was it? And he's like, I have no idea. My mom just has like a ton of these. I just fixed someone. At first he thought about giving her like the same one as his, which like, oh, cutesy. But then he thought it was kind of like fun for her to have, you know, something different. It could be whatever she wants it to be. So of course she thanks him. And this is of course where we get finally, this might be one of the latest title drops of a Sarah Destin book ever, honestly. Here on page 341, chapter 20, she says, Saint Anything. I love it. Thank you. And then he's like, you're welcome. So now we know who Saint Anything is. And it's this adorable little pendant necklace that Matt gives her, which is super sweet. And I was like, stop it. I was really going through it, guys, reading that one, chapter 19. So to have this chapter start like this, I personally really need it. So yeah. Anywho, she has that. Super cute. We love that. She says that, you know, even though she continues to do everything her mom asks, her mom has not like let up one bit. She's just, again, last 2 weeks has been nothing, nonstop this, because she's been to the Kyger Center so much. They offered her a job working at the front desk because, again, no one needs that much studying. And she is like a smart kid. So they were like, why don't you just work the desk? That is allowed because she will still be there and like still be studying. So anywho, we flash back to the text exchange between her and Mac. And he's like, yep, like you're right again. And she's like, oh, you know, did you doubt me? And he's like, no, but just like cute little flirty dance through the text message, which again, like what a sweet like relationship. Like they literally cannot see each other right now. And he's like, I don't know. I just think they're so cute. So yeah. That makes me happy that she at least has that going on in her life.
Yes. Like on the previous page, when she is like talking about the necklace, she's like, from that point on, it was a daily, solid daily reminder that even though I was by myself a lot, I wasn't alone, not anymore.
Yes.
So she's like, you know, she's kind of back into the same place she was at the beginning of the book where she's like alone physically, but not right. Emotionally anymore.
Yes.
So she's,
yes.
She's got her mans and she'll get Layla back.
Yes, exactly. So here we go. She asks him about like what's going on, you know, because she's missing the gang, so to speak. And he's like, oh, like you're not missing much. Earth still eats a lot. Eric's still like stressing out about this, you know, whatchamacallit, demo and such. Again, Sarah, you're making me nervous with Mrs. Chatham here, because she talks about how, you know, she asked about how she is doing, because she's had a couple of trips to the ER recently. You know, she's had some blood pressure issues. Again, they're trying new medications, this, that, the other thing. So yeah, he's just kind of like keeping her in the loop. We're all very worried about Mrs. Chatham. And he's like, oh, you know, like she's doing better. The last person she asked about is Layla, because obviously she's like a little nervous about that one, because things have been a little rough between them since the big finding out. And he's like, she's coming around, like, just give her more time. Like, I promise. So she's like, you know, all I had is time, you know, no worries with that. I can come around. I liked this kind of like description that she uses to describe like what her life is like right now. And she was like, it was like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz going from black and white to color, then back again. You first had to have something change, like friendship, to understand the loss of it. And I did. That's gut-wrenching. Peyton hasn't been calling because he, of course, is mad at his mom, and he mostly called to call his mom. If I was him, and I'm a petty little bitch, I'd be calling all the time and being like, I'd like to speak to anyone but mom. I'd be like, I'd like to speak to Sydney, please. And now, like, and it's sad because, like, they finally were starting to talk and she was kind of starting to build a relationship back with her brother. And now he's not calling because her mom, another thing that her mom has taken away from her, watching you, maybe. And she says, like, you know, when she puts on big New York or Los Angeles, she tries to focus on it, but she's, like, always thinking of him and his friend. Like, are they, you know, watching and stuff? So it's just makes me sad. So she's like, you know, everything was different now. The following Saturday, there she is at work because that's all she's allowed to do is be there. And just then, who walks in but Spence, who has to take, you know, some classes because he actually probably does legitimately need them. And, of course, Sydney uses this as, like, an in to ask about how Layla's doing. And he's like, oh, you know, like, she's doing good. You know, she's kind of hit the fan at home. And he's like, oh, you know, like, no biggie or whatever. So, of course, she's, like, kind of worried because, again, she knows, like, what's going on with her mom and stuff. And then Jen is the one who's going to be, like, tutoring him. And he's, like, really weird with her and, like, kind of flirty. And it's super strange, especially when you know that the person who just, like, checked you out at the front desk is friends with your girlfriend. Like, I don't know. The whole situation is very strange. Because he's like, oh, my day just got better. So she kind of, like, warns Jen, like, who this is and, like, what his deal is. And she's like, okay. So, yeah, like, that goes off, obviously, to a very, like, rocky start. Again, we don't know Jen super well. Like, the one chapter we really got to spend time with her in, she was drunk and kind of acting a fool. But last chapter, when she was, like, spill the tea, sis, and this chapter, like, the way that she is with Spencer, I was like, I like this girl. So
same.
She's quickly growing on me. Anywho, who happens to walk in later? Is it that same day or another day? I can't remember. Anywho, some time has passed. And of course, now Spence is going there for tutoring. And who does she see but Layla walking her direction to the tutor center? And Miss Chatham is there. Rosie is the one that's driving. And so she's like, oh gosh, like, here we go. Like, you know, she's wanted to see her, but she doesn't know how this is gonna go. So she walks in and she's like, hey, like, are you here to see Spence? And she's like, yeah, he said you're working here. So that's when she realizes, like, oh, okay, so she knew I was working here and she still came. So, like, we're off to a good start. And so she's like, yeah, like, I'm stuck here, you know, my mom signed me up to be here every day. And clearly Layla has been talking to Mac and she's like, yeah, he said that, you know, you're on a tight leash and stuff. And so, you know, she says some stuff about her mom and she's like, but I guess, like, you knew that though. So Sydney's like, up until this point, the whole conversation felt like a house of cards, liable to collapse at any moment. But this was Layla. I'd always spoken straight with her. It felt wrong to do otherwise, even if it was safer. So she goes ahead and just apologizes. She's like, look, I'm, like, really sorry. You know, like, I caught feelings. You know, we shouldn't have kept that from you. And Layla basically admits, like, I'm just upset that you kept it a secret, you know? And so, of course, Sydney's like, listen, like, the way you acted about the last one, I was really worried that, like, you know, friends weren't allowed to date him. And she's like, I was just upset because he, like, she hurt him. Like, do you plan on hurting my brother? And she's like, no, like, obviously not. And she's like, good, then, like, we're fine. Like, I just, like, hate feeling stupid and looking stupid. And I just, like, you guys keeping a secret upset me, but, like, we good. So they're friends again, which makes me happy. I do like, though, that she's like, if you do hurt him, I don't care if you're my best friend. I'll kick your ass. Are we clear? And she's like, yep, Crystal. So she's, you know, here she is trying to find a little bit of time to, you know, see Spence and stuff. So she was like, yeah, like, we're kind of at the whim of, like, Rosie and, you know, whatever. She'll be able to, like, drive me. And so I liked this exchange too, because Sydney's like, or Max. And she's like, I'm super big fan of Spence. And after what happened the night at your house and to you, he's not doing anything to help him out, even if it means helping me too. And I was like, love y'all. What a gentleman. That is the kind of guy you want. That's like, you mess with my girl. No, we are not good. We are not good. And I just think that it's just like, I don't know. But that just really just shows the kind of guy that Mac is, which makes me, my heart, like, really happy. Of course, though, Sydney does feel kind of apologetic, but, like, Layla's like, oh, my God, like, don't even worry about it. Like, it's fine. So just then, Jen and Spence come up. And again, he's, like, still be, like, in front of his girlfriend. He's, like, being, like, he is, like, such a, ugh, I don't like it at all. So she kind of introduces Layla and Jen, which is a nice little moment. Spence is, like, saying, you know, like, oh yeah, like, I'm learning along. He tries to win her back over because, again, he's, like, being a weirdo, And he tries to win Layla back over, like get her back on his good side by being like, oh, you want to go get some fries? And she's like, okay. So, you know, she's in luck, Sydney says, because it happens to be like a place that Layla, she knows, likes the fries. She heads out at 5 o'clock. She's all done with her shift. And who does she see? Rosie pulling into a spa. Mrs. Chatham gestures her to come over. And they have a nice little chat, and only the way that Mrs. Chatham can like break it down, you know, can see it from the mom's side, which I will say when I was reading these chapters, I was like, it's very rare in a Destin novel, unless the mom has like straight up like left them, i.e. in something like A Lock and Key, that the parents like aren't forgiven at the end of the novel. And I'm for that. Like I am, like, I believe that obviously there's two sides to every story. Redemption is always possible, blah, 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 blah. But this mom is making it really hard. I was like, you know what? Actually, I think Sydney should just never forget her. I think we should never. I'm sure that won't be the case, but like, pardon me. I'm never going to forgive this mom a little bit. I think like, nope. I feel for her, but I'm not sure I'm ever going to forgive her, just so we're clear. So she goes and talks to Mrs. Chatham, and she's, you know, kind of asking how everything is at home. And she's like, it's complicated. And so Mr. Chatham asks how her brother is. And she's like, you know, it sucks. Like we were talking a little bit. And then after like what happened with my mom, like he's not really calling around, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, Mrs. Chatham's like, oh, like that's good to hear though. But like you guys had started kind of talking and stuff, like that's, you know, still progress. So she says kind of what like we did, because we were only getting things from like mom's perspective, that she was like, you know, I'm realizing maybe I didn't know exactly what he was feeling. I assumed a lot. I feel kind of bad about it. And, you know, Ms. Chatham's like, you shouldn't. Like, relationships evolve just like people do. You know, someone doesn't mean you know everything about them, even like your own brother. And so, you know, she was saying that that now that her mom has kind of been like ostracized from Peyton, that she's kind of become like the main project. And it's just like a lot. And she's really putting like a lot on her. And she's like, yeah, you know, I have heard about that. And this entire time she's having this conversation, she keeps like eyeing the clock, because again, her mom is like her freaking warden and is going to like yell at her if she's late. It's like 5:04 and she's not doing anything wrong. She's in the parking lot of her job talking to an adult, like a respected person. And, you know, she's still like kind of worried about like all of this. And so, she says, you know, she's like, it's just like unfair. Like I really haven't done anything wrong. She's like, you know, by the way, she's punished me. You think I was the one who almost killed someone. And so this is where Mr. Chatham kind of tells her, like, she's scared. She doesn't want to lose you too. Like, think of all the guilt that, you know, like you feel about the situation. Like she raised him. Like that's, you know, she's your mom. And she's like, think about how much like that has to eat at her. Like the girl has to eat at her knowing that, like, she, you know, she says, but your brother, that's her child, her responsibility. Whatever he does is a part of her always, which is so true. And so basically they kind of talk about the fact that like, they don't discuss David Ibarra. They don't discuss her guilt. And she's kind of like, just because you're not discussing it doesn't mean it's not there. Like, doesn't mean, you know, that like you shouldn't try to talk to her about it, that this isn't going on. Little food for thought for our girl. So she sees the clock, it's 5:10, and she's like, I really like do need to go. Like she's gonna freak if I'm not there. And Mrs. Chatham's like, you know, just think about what I said about talking to her. And she's like, yeah, I will. Mrs. Chatham, truly a legend. Sarah, please don't hurt hair on her head.
please, Sarah.
I can't handle that right now. So she heads out and heads on home. And then when she gets home, guys, this is where I'm about to crash out, honestly, talking about this part. It angers me so much. When she gets home, again, she's even like kind of being sympathetic toward her mom right now. Like she just had a great chat with Mrs. Chatham. She's like, you know what? Yeah, like I should talk to my mom about this. Like maybe if we just talked about the old David Ibarra and my brother and whatever, and like the guilt we all share as a family, like, you know, things could be good. No, she can't, because when she gets home, there's Ames telling a sob story about how like he has a terrible landlord and he's never been late, and you know, now he's been evicted and life's so hard for them. And you know, mom's there ready to like fight the good fight, because again, she can't fight the good fight right now for Peyton. So she's ready to get new projects. And she's like, you know, you need to look at your lease. you know, see what we can do about this. You know, I'll call Sawyer if you like, we'll get on this. And he's like, you know, no, I don't want to go to any trouble, you know, no big deal. So then, of course, that's when Sydney walks in. So he notices her and he's like, oh, I'm wondering when you'd show up. And it's like, why is everything he says creepy? And how does her parents not see this? So, of course, mom clocks that she's a little late and she's like, work run late. And, you know, kind of Sydney just like tells a little white line. She's like, yeah, like a little bit. So, of course, she asks Sydney to put a place for Ames because he's going to be staying for dinner. And, of course, Ames acts like, you know, he doesn't want to put anyone, oh, I couldn't, are you sure? When that's what he wanted all along. And she's like, oh, of course, you know, you're practically homeless. The least I can do is feed you. So we sat at the table and, you know, he's talking about like all the things he has. She's like, my crooked landlord kicked me out today. Add that to being laid off last week and I'm batting 1,000. Why were you laid off, Ames? I'm sure that also wasn't your fault.
Laid off?
Yeah, laid off. Okay. So mom's like, oh, you know, ridiculous. When it rains, it pours. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in a monsoon then. You know, I'll just, you know, I'm going to bounce back, though. I got some leads and I got some friends with open couches. Again, just like, oh, woe is me. And so she's like, you don't have to resort to that. You have a free bedroom just sitting here. But people can't use a studio for a couple of hours. But she's going to let, okay. And she's like, you'll stay with us until you find a new place. So, of course, Sydney freaks out internally because this is kind of her worst nightmare. Like, this guy is an absolute creepazoid and he's going to be in a bedroom, like, next to hers. Ah. So, of course, Ames is all like, I couldn't possibly. And she's like, you're not imposing. After all you've done for Peyton and us, it's the very least we can do. Again, shall we go back 15 pages earlier when they called their own daughter a burden? It's cute. Love that for them. Mm-hmm. So she's just kind of like in a, like almost like a fugue state setting the dinner table, like not even sure how she's doing it. And of course, Ames is sitting there where her brother would usually sit at the dinner table. Y'all, that's like this whole thing is so messed up. She, you know, she says he continues to pretend to resist while mom assures him like it's totally fine just until he gets back on his feet. After we ate, I took as long as I could to load the dishwasher and clean up before I went upstairs to do homework. Even so, I had a front row seat as Ames unloaded his stuff. Such a coincidence. He happened to have it all in the car. Load by load into the room next to mine. Each time he passed, he glanced in at me. Finally, I shut the door. Y'all. The fact that this is how the chapter, that chapter cliffhanger, I was like, no. I got like anxiety reading that when I read it. I do not like this. I do not like this one bit. I don't understand. I don't understand how mom can have like compassion and want to help out every single other person. But like her daughter, she's just like, you took one little sip of vodka.
also like why isn't he staying with his parents?
Yeah. Like where's his family? Like why? Like what? Of course he had his stuff with him, like ready to go and move in. Like
he's a leech. Guy.
He's a leech. He's disgusting. I am annoyed with him. I am annoyed with mom. I love Layla, Mrs. Chatham, and Mac. Obviously, our girl Sydney. But yeah, these people stressing me out. So now that everyone's anxiety levels are at an all-time high because of that cliffhanger, I don't know about you, but mine are. This is where we leave you this week.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on. We'll be back to read some more Dustin. We'll be back to talk chaos again with y'all, I'm sure, soon at some point. I'm not sure what the schedule is, and I don't want to say it because anytime I do, I'm wrong. So I'm not even going to jinx it. We're not going to put it out in the ether. We will be back to, as we promised, this is the year of 2025 of the mental breakdown, like every week. So yeah. Come join us. Find whatever you can to make you happy this week. If it's Timothy Chalamet, if it's whatever it is, find it, enjoy it, live your best lives, take care of yourselves now more than ever. And we will chat again real soon.
Bye.